Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Visit Pensacola and our strategic plan, we've identified, however, that one of our immediate needs and opportunities is to provide conference space of size, of 125,000 square feet minimum, to address the woefully inadequate availability of space in our market that's currently preventing existing events to grow, but our inability to attract major meetings and conferences to our area. And we've ongoingly developed a list of all the meetings and conference and the meeting planners that we've talked to that can't come here, would love to come here, but can't because we don't have the space.
So this is Darren Schaefer, the executive director of Visit Pensacola, talking at the TDC, the Tourism Development Council meeting on Monday, where they were considering $30 million bonding the fifth cent for the TDC bed tax money, bonding it to get $30 million for Bay Center improvements that everybody knows the Bay Center needs, and then also $60 million bonding in order to pay for this gym to nowhere, this athletic facility up in the Ashton-Brosnahan Park. And what Darren is saying is, look, we definitely need an athletic facility, but we also need other stuff. And, you know, we're losing convention center business because we don't have a convention center. Can you please do something about that, which this will not accomplish?
And the reason why I'm here now is that when I look at the proposal that came out after the last TDC meeting and looking at how that's to be funded, it is going to effectively use up the fifth cent as far as being bondable. And neither of the two facilities proposed are going to be able to provide, you know, that meeting and conference space needs. There'll be some open space, could do some exhibit space, but won't really meet the needs of a meeting planner, won't be competitive that we can actually go out and pitch and bring those kind of events to Escambia County.
You need $30 million for the Bay Center, and now you're going to take the $60 million that could be either part of or much of a needed convention center fund, and you're going to throw it at this thing, which won't actually satisfy the genuine need we have right now. Plus, you're putting it in a place that is too far from downtown to be appropriate to work in conjunction with all of our restaurants and our entertainment areas and the Bay Center itself.
The fact that that'll be bonded for the next 30 years, it means that, unfortunately, we won't have the ability to use TDT funds to help create that facility potentially for the next 30 years. And that would be detrimental to the county.
So he shows up representing Visit and they say this is a bad idea. Innisfree Hotels. This caught me by surprise. Ted Ent from Innisfree says, what are you doing?
I want to quote from the study that was provided to me by the consultant from the stakeholder political support section. Destinations that are successful have political support from a variety of public and private stakeholders that prioritize sports tourism as an economic generator. These include local and state governments, local leagues, collegiate athletic departments, DMOs, economic development agencies, hospitality industry professionals, facility management, and event organizers. I want to go on the record by saying most of these stakeholders were not consulted before this study came out 2 days prior to the last TDC meeting.
Dude! Your own study says talk to these people. Not only didn't you talk to them, he says, you know, and Innisfree, that's a pretty major player in our area, right? You didn't talk to us, you didn't get our involvement, and so you didn't even put out the study until after it was asked for, and we've only had about a week to look at it. And on top of all of that, we don't... What are you... Your own study says you didn't do the one thing you should have done. I mean, what are you even doing?
In fact, to my knowledge, no current hoteliers or our local DMO or anyone else who generates TDC money was consulted in any way about the proposal of the current location after the study was completed.
So all of the hotels that generate the bed tax that you're going to make unusable for anything else for 30 years, you didn't come talk to us at all. What?
You guys were told that hoteliers supported an indoor sports center, and that is true, without a doubt. However, the hoteliers that I've spoken to, including myself, who represents Innisfree Hotels, does not support the current location.
Wow. I mean, I'm listening to this meeting, and I'm listening to the people who are not on board with this $60 million gym to nowhere that, like, how could it even be considered seriously is where I was at. I was watching this meeting thinking, well, they are definitely going to vote this down. I mean, they are obviously going to vote this down, especially when, you know, Jim Reeves starts asking questions, you know, and when it becomes obvious that what they're really trying to do is, and look, the people who are advocating for this, involved in this, I really don't mean to cast aspersions on them, okay? They're good people. They're trying hard, okay? Michael Rhodes and Ray Palmer, they're trying to accomplish something for our community, and they believe in it. But some set of circumstances and or potentially political pressures, because I know this is a big pet project for Stephen Barry, who is at risk of losing his reelection bid for a fourth term in District 5 against a no-party affiliate challenger, is desperate for anything he can point to that, here, we got this done, you know? And I know this has been one of his pet projects, okay? But they're rushing. They're not disclosing full information. They're not talking to all the people they need to talk to. And now we're being presented with, you know, hey, let's piggyback this $60 million project that nobody's quite happy about on top of a $30 million project that everybody supports. I mean, even David Baer, you know, is like, I'm so conflicted on this.
I'd prefer a different project than what we have presented, but we have two projects that are good. They're not best, like everybody said, and they're not my personal favorite.
So David was kind of all over the place in his assessment. He's the chair of the TDC, because on the one hand, he says he's conflicted about this project. Then he says he wants them both together. They don't have a better one in front of them. And, you know, but not having a better one in front of you is not a reason to vote for a bad one so quickly. Now, it might turn out, you know, you give it a couple of months to simmer and season, this might turn out to be the best idea, and all your community partners might be on board. But in the rush, to bond and obligate us for a $60 million, I mean, in a bad location, or at least what looks like a bad location, that doesn't accomplish convention space, that doesn't put the, you know, the athletes near all of the facilities and amenities that make downtown great, and like, it's every, you know, Michael Rhodes kept saying it checks a lot of boxes. It unchecks a lot of boxes, in my opinion. That's why I was stunned at what happened after this. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But if you're headed into Pensacola from Pace, you're going to see a minor slowdown through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, you know, the key advocates on the council were Jeff Bergosh, who has been voted out of office and is outgoing, but I think is desperate to get a win and also to help his friend Stephen Barry in the process, okay? He points out that the 5th cent was meant to do this, but for the Bay Center.
This makes a lot of sense. Even getting that 5th cent was a Herculean effort. Remember, there was a lot of people didn't want that 5th cent. That 5th cent's a godsend. It's going to allow us to do what we need to do with the Bay Center and create this amazing facility for kids, for groups, for sports.
But as Mitesh Patel, that kind of represents the hoteliers on the council, he's like, yeah, but for the Bay Center, not for this other thing.
I will say the 5th cent, yes, there was a lot of pushback to get the 5th cent, and this is exactly why there was a lot of pushback, with the fear that you have this 5th cent, and now everybody thinks, oh, there's a huge pot of money that we can go out there and just waste.
Just splash the money around because we've got it, and especially because we've got it only for a couple of more months.
You know, we've studied the problem for at least 8 years, right? So we've got the 5th cent. We've got the ability to bond it. We can do two worthwhile projects, and we can really move the ball forward. So, you know, these decisions are big decisions, but I feel like there's support on the Board of County Commissioners for this. At least, you know, for the next couple months. I don't know about after that. But if we want to get something done, I think now's the time to get something done.
That's an extremely telling comment. The rampant doubt about the incoming commission, right? Ashley Hoffberger, most likely, unless she gets very unlikely defeated by Ron Helms as a Democrat in the general election. But then also with, you know, Steven Stroberger. And I don't know what they think, but why would you want to obligate us for a $90 million project when you've got a massive change coming to the board and possibly three brand new commissioners when this is being rushed in at the last minute under the wire before they're not in office anymore? Which is what Mitesh Patel said.
Making a smart decision with that 5th cent, using it wisely, that's what's important. And I think we're rushing this thing. And like you said, you only have a couple months, so I understand why county commissioners feel like they have to rush this through to try to get it done. But when you rush, you don't get it right. I think we need to slow down. All the stakeholders need to be at the table.
Yeah, which they have not been so far. Now, on his behalf, Ray Palmer says, you know, look, we've been working on this for 15 or 20 years in various forms. We have presented all this information to people. We have not hidden this from anybody. The perception that somehow, you know, this has been some secret, that's false. Okay, I hear you, and I don't have any reason to think that you're misrepresenting things. But then why is it that Visit is showing up and saying we don't believe in this location? Why is it that the the hotel group like Innisfree are showing up and saying this is really not the right location? And why are they asking for other things like a convention center? Like, and why are they talking about even David Baer? Like, the right location is the Bay Center. If you can figure out how to do it, you know, maybe you need to tear down the off-ramp for $3 million. Or maybe you need to take half the back parking lot and turn that into an expanded center that can do all of this in one fell swoop, you know? It's just somebody came and said, okay, here's a not great project, but at least we've got the land. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of repeating myself, but I think I've got the metaphor kind of right on this. Is it's like, you know, well, we need to build a wooden ship. We need to build a big wooden ship. What should we build it out of? Well, obviously, you know, live oaks. Now, wait a minute. We've got a big pile of plywood in the garage already. Let's just build it out of plywood. That's like what we're doing. And yet we're spending all of this money on it, you know? And so my answer would have been separate the projects. $30 million for the Bay Center, no problem. I mean, bond that. The Fifth Cent was made for that. No problem. Do it. In fact, maybe even put more money into the Bay Center because that's literally what the Fifth Cent was for. Okay, fine. No worries. But why is the Bay Center being used as the Trojan horse to carry the Gym to Nowhere inside the 30-year obligation zone when there's no city council members even at the meeting anymore? They scheduled this at the same time there was a Pensacola agenda conference. So Casey Jones, city council president, can't be here. He's got to run the meeting. Tanya Day Broughton was there, but she had to leave because she had to go to the other meeting. You only have six people present, three not there at all. Nobody from the city is there. She brought this up in both the, you know, they were trying to reorganize the agenda even to make it so that this would come up later when she couldn't be there at all. Not on purpose. I don't think that was the design, but, you know, she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I need to be here. And then even in the agenda review, when she finally showed up over there, you know, she's like, what? This is terrible.
Everybody, I would like to go on record as saying that there needs to be something about all these boards and these other things that we have to sit on. I'm just coming from the TDC meeting, and of course it was the same time as this council meeting, so I'm running from there to run to here, and it was something really important on the agenda at the TDC meeting. So I had to wait for that agenda.
Yeah, a $90 million vote. You sort of ought to have the people there to do the vote, right?
What's happening over there is in relation to a multi-million dollar project. And I at least wanted the city to have a voice or have some kind of presence there at the time. So while, and you sit on it with me. So while you're manning everything here, I had to at least be there. And then I can't teleport to get back here. So I would just hope that the city could take the position that if they schedule a meeting during city council time, that we just have to clear that up.
This meeting should not have been scheduled at 3:00 on a Monday when you have a 3:30 agenda conference. That excluded two people from the vote. Okay. It should not have been rushed through. The full study should have been available. And they definitely shouldn't be doing this with lame duck commissioners and a missing commissioner and another one who's facing a tough re-election campaign in Stephen Barry. So here's what's going to happen. It's going to go to the county commission. I have to assume they're going to try to rush that through, too. They're going to try to get it in before November so that he can campaign on it. Okay? What I would love to see is I would love to see the county commissioners say, you know what? This is just not quite time yet. It's inappropriate of us to try to encumber this for the next 30 years when we don't even have a full commission yet, let alone a District 4, which has all of the Pensacola Beach tourism money that comes in. So 5th Cent money is big on Pensacola Beach. We don't even have a District 4 commissioner. But I don't expect that's what's going to happen. But here's what I do think will happen. I think they will rush it through. I think it'll be a 3-1 vote. Mike Kohler will vote against. This is my expectation, my guess. And then the new commission is going to get in, and it takes so long to bond things and work all these details out that I don't think anything will actually happen. And I think they'll say, whoa, no, we're not doing this. Let's come back to the drawing board and start again. And the sad part about that is because they forced the two issues to be joined together and wouldn't separate them, as Ryan Rivera tried and Jim Reese tried to separate them, the Bay Center won't get what it needs. That's the real tragedy here. The Bay Center really needs the renovations. And we make more money and we can make the Bay Center a little bit more viable if we do that. But because it got joined to this other thing, the Bay Center too, is that part is going to fall out. Now, hopefully they can come back and pass that as a standalone, because I would support that. And I would go on the air and say, good job. You know, good job. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
And traffic on the fives. No accidents to let you know about. Right now, we're seeing some delays coming from Pace into Pensacola on Highway 90. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, we will. I completely forgot about transgressors. I just completely forgot about it. So we'll do it at 6:35. I have an open segment there. I know it's a little weird time for those of you who are used to it then. But we'll do it then. Don't worry. Anyway, John, thank you for reminding me about that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No fish. Very fatal. No slight.
Good morning, 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, I think it's naive of you, Andrew, to think they didn't schedule this so that the city representatives wouldn't be there. I don't know. I just want to give people the benefit of the doubt unless I have clear evidence that that's not the case. And, you know, I don't want to draw that conclusion unless you force me to draw it. David Wayne has got our headlines, or at least one of them. David?
Well, Boeing says they're ready to renegotiate after their workers voted to go on strike. Thousands of aircraft employees at manufacturing plants in Seattle and Portland rejected Boeing's contract offer yesterday. They voted to walk out today.
Very good. Shred-a-thon, October 5th at the fairgrounds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Aircraft production at Boeing is shut down with members of the Machinist Union now on strike.
Our members rejected the contract by 94.6%. And they voted to strike by 96%.
It's mostly in Washington State. It's the first Boeing strike since 2008. Vice President Kamala Harris in Charlotte, North Carolina, again challenges former President Donald Trump to debate her again.
I believe we owe it to the voters to have another debate.
Well, after debating President Biden in June and Harris this week, Trump says enough.
Because we've done two debates and because they were successful, there will be no third debate.
He was in Tucson, Arizona there today, campaigning in Las Vegas, Nevada. The vice president has a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is 75 degrees. We've got mostly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. The Escambia Board of Commissioners has approved a new 30-year improvement plan for the Warrington area. That new plan includes upgrading commercial areas along Navy Boulevard and the gateway into NAS Pensacola.
The relationship between the United States Navy and Warrington goes back centuries, and it's literally our backyard. It's our neighborhood. And we're just really, really excited about the redevelopment plan, 30-year plan. We want Warrington to succeed. We want the Navy to succeed.
That is the director of the National Naval Aviation Museum and retired Navy Captain Sterling Gilliam. He tells Channel 3 he believes that the Navy allowing more access to the base would also potentially help the Warrington neighborhood. Other goals addressed in the 30-year plan include creating opportunities for youth and elderly residents and finding a way to create more community pride. Well, hundreds of police officers responded to a reported threat at Foley High School yesterday. That all started Thursday morning when a teacher overheard a comment about a weapon and hit the panic alarm on her ID badge. Police say officers were at the scene within minutes. It turned a bit chaotic when misinformation started circling on social media, including information about a student and a picture of a gunman.
Instead of blasting things out on social media that you don't know to be true, we all know how social media goes. I wish parents would take this into account, is that the dissemination of information can create a lot of chaos.
That is Foley Police Chief Thurston Bullock, and he tells NBC 15 officers did not find a weapon. There was no fight, no shooting on campus. The school district says parents began arriving at the scene wanting to check their children out, but the school was still on lockdown. That's when a small group of emotional and some angry parents attempted to enter the school to get their children. The district released a statement saying they understand the emotion involved, but say parents need to consider the consequences of entering a locked down school filled with armed officers searching for a threat. Well, applications for unemployment benefits are down a bit in Florida. The Labor Department reporting 5,800 Floridians filed for first-time jobless benefits last week. That is about 243 less than the week before. Nationally, 230,000 Americans applied for benefits. That's an increase of 2,000 from the week before's previous revised total. Job claims are viewed as an indicator of layoff activity. Police officers will be required to enforce the state's ban on public camping as of the first of next month. The law was passed during the last legislative session and holds government agencies accountable if they don't act. PPD Chief Eric Randall says when his officers are called for a report of someone camping in public, they'll have a community response specialist with them.
Every situation is different, so we walk into every situation with an open mind and look at all the tools we have currently available to be able to remedy the situation as effective as possible.
And Randall says they'll look for shelters or programs to assist the homeless. The law will allow local governments to create designated camping areas for the homeless. It'll also require those areas to have certain amenities such as security, bathrooms, and access to mental health and addiction treatment services. 635 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers you auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. You can visit progressive.com today. That's progressive.com. Seeing some slowdowns southbound on Highway 29 right in front of the Tate High School where you get off right there in front of the Whataburger. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
There will be a small chance of rain this afternoon, 40% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Keeping a beautiful sunny forecast for that Saturday, 10% chance of rain, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
636, your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A quick recap of this week's inflation data. The consumer price index in August came in at 2.5% on an annualized basis. That is the lowest level since February of 2021. Wholesale prices, meanwhile, rose 0.2% in August, coming in line with expectations. U.S. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors considered the path ahead for interest rates as they digested the latest economic data. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was down by 3 basis points to 3.649%. Pro-Russian hackers reportedly crashed the Taiwan Stock Exchange website yesterday. The stock exchange said a large number of foreign IPs launched invalid queries on its network, resulting in unstable service for a short period of time. The attack reportedly targeted Taiwanese government and financial units, including airports and tax bureaus. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 235. That's your money now.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and it happens Tuesday nights at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Be sure to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Coming up this Tuesday, it's the White Sands Panhandle Band. They are the hottest band when it comes to bluegrass, country, and rockabilly. And they're inspired by so many great artists like Marty Stewart, Doyle Lawson, and Charlie Daniels. So come out to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with White Sands Panhandle Band. So remember, no pets or glass allowed.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Senator J.D. Vance and former president, say not his name, for perpetuating the horrible racist and xenophobic slur that Haitian immigrants are killing pets in Springfield, Ohio, and eating them.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Of course, we recognize that, like so many of Trump's preposterous claims, this one started with a single story from a supposed eyewitness who spoke at a previous city council meeting.
I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them, like...
Unfortunately... Many people have turned pictures of cats or dogs or ducks. Why does no one seem to care about the ducks? Into a wide variety of viral memes. But this is absolutely no laughing matter. And although some of our normal allies have tried to claim there can be no truth to the story, even the Sacred and Holy Los Angeles Times published an article in 1989 about efforts by the SPCA to re-educate immigrants against eating domesticated mammals in California after a court case against two Cambodian refugees who actually did so. It is well established that many foreign cultures eat things Americans consider unacceptable, and so it's only natural that when they come here, they might practice the same culinary choices. And, of course, we believe in a culture of non-judgment and inclusion. Tolerance is kind of our thing, you know. Plus, the Holy Handbook of Cultural Relativism teaches us that we cannot judge the practices of other cultures, or of any culture, unless that culture is a Western, white, or Christian one. Or Israel. So we must be careful not to apply our own standards to the Haitians or anyone with their alternate food styles. Obviously, we side with our dear friends at PETA in advocating for a vegan or plant-based diet for both health and ethical reasons. And that's why we find the consumption of beef and chicken to be just as offensive as the eating of dogs, cats, and park ducks. We say that people should not eat food with a face at all, regardless of whether it's food with a face and whiskers, food with a face that barks, or food with a face that quacks and waddles. So for telling a story that is hateful and mean, even if it is likely true, we yet again must cancel the Republican presidential and vice presidential candidates. Also, don't eat the meat on a stick in Ohio. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, and this one does certainly give me personal pain, but we must at least censure the leader of our Democratic Party, Joe Biden, president of the United States in absentia, whereabouts unknown at least most days. But this week actually reminds us of why he must remain hidden from sight and gently bubble-wrapped at a safe distance from the levers of power. During a jovial interchange with a Trump supporter at a 9/11 event in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Biden offered the man one of his presidential seal hats and then joked that he needed the man's Trump hat in exchange. After some banter and the crowd egging him on, Biden, most elder of his name, put the Trump hat over his own hat in an awkwardly unfashionable show of unity. Show of unity? Look, people, we have an election to win, and you just cannot afford to muddy the message like this. It's one thing to speak generally about the need for unity while always taking every opportunity to completely trash the Republicans, which, of course, is the third of our four sacred hypocrisies. But there can be absolutely no room for making light of the overtanned felon from Mar-a-Lago. We cannot simultaneously present the truth that Trump is a real threat to democracy and then turn around and joke and banter and wear a hat bearing the name of MAGA Man. Putting aside that his supporters ferociously celebrated the moment and ridiculed dear leader Biden for it relentlessly, even hinting at the idea that the chasm between us and them can be bridged by creative hatmanship is a terrible lie to tell. For confusing the message, for debifurcating the third holy hypocrisy, and for even a fleeting de-escalation of the political war we're trying so hard to inflame, Grandpa Joe, we cancel thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our utmost and enthusiastic praise for Her Sweet Highness Taylor Swift, the anointed and shimmering one, the destroyer of ex-boyfriends, the wearer of all boots, and the invigorator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, Mademoiselle Tay-Tay this week endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, the High Priestess of Racial Ambiguity, to become President of the United States. And yes, we recognize that a woman who became famous for singing about all of her bad decisions might not be the ideal person to tell the fictitious undecided member of the American electorate what a good decision it is for them to vote for Kamala Harris, but we also know that most young voters don't think consistently or with rigor, and so not to worry. In addition, we applaud the leader of the Swifties for taking this brave and courageous step because we certainly recognized it would invite the ire of Trump world and MAGA trolls to attack her during this cruel summer. But we knew that the blank space of their hearts could not taint her purity, that they would reveal themselves as the party of bad blood, and that no matter what, she would surely shake it off like an ill-fitting cardigan. But in all of this, we actually take great comfort that, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of modern pop culture that she is, if you strike her down on Truth Social, she will only become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. So for hip-swaying her way into the middle of the presidential election with support for our sweet anti-hero, the substitute candidate, we celebrate thee, O Empress of Sequins. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you leave today, we do want to recognize that His Excellency and just recently promoted to 5th-degree Chancellor Extraordinaire George Clooney has been awarded a third silver wheatgrass pin for doublespeak above and beyond the call of duty. After working so diligently with former President Obama and others behind the scenes to oust leader Biden from the ticket against his will, Clooney led the media blitz to reframe this as a courageous and voluntary decision made by the president in hiding himself. What a massively brilliant piece of doublethink and real-time historic revisionism. The more you can repeat the lie that this was a voluntary choice by Joe Biden, the more you can make people forget that the real misdeed here was hiding Biden's mental decline. The more heroic you can make him seem for doing what he was forced to do, the less anyone is going to want to focus on how long we hid the truth from the American people. A true masterstroke by Sir Lies-a-Lot, and a very well-deserved promotion and pinning. Refreshments this week are furnished by Heart of Stone, the pulverized granite dietary supplement guaranteed to lift your spirits and make your stomach sink. Add a robust dusting of Heart of Stone sodium-free seasoning to any meal, or mix it directly into your chai latte or chicory coffee and let the clumping begin. Now in 100, 200, and new 400 grit consistency, Heart of Stone, you can really taste the virtue. But please remember not to chew.
Woe unto all.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
6:48 here on News Radio 92.3. Normally I do this at 6:20. So for those of you who are like, what in the world? We just got off track today. Second service, late service at 8:20 this morning. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're seeing an accident right now on West Roberts Road and Stefani Road up in Cantonment. It's a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make good decisions about that choice because it's a big one and it'll affect you for an awful long time. And I was just listening to Christina Leavenworth talk yesterday on Pep Talk about, you know, choices between, for example, a new home or a home that's already been lived in by somebody else. And you might think, well, you know, it's always better to buy new. I mean, it can be. And having a good realtor, she can help you get them to buy down points and get you a good deal on purchasing a home. But, you know, I hadn't been thinking about how the home that already exists is more likely to, for example, come with appliances. appliances, might come with upgrades. People have put in plank flooring or other things that you wouldn't necessarily get with a brand new home. You might, okay, but you wouldn't necessarily. And so sometimes, or even landscaping, right? Sometimes can be kind of bare bones on a new home. So, you know, just even thinking about whether you want to, you know, buy new or buy used, I mean, that's a choice that it's good to get some input on. All the other stuff too. What are interest rates doing? What's the market doing? What's the, you know, commission rate structure doing now that that court case has been resolved? Or even what is home insurance doing? Because that can dramatically affect what you can buy and what other people can buy from you if you're selling. All good questions you want to ask a good realtor like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 723-9158.
Pensacola Little Theater presents A Man for All Seasons, a captivating historical drama that offers a window into the tumultuous 16th century England during King Henry VIII's reign, September 13th through 22nd. The play delves into the moral and political struggles of Sir Thomas More, a devout Catholic and loyal subject of the king. As Henry VIII, driven by his desire to divorce his wife, clashes with the Catholic Church, he demands the unwavering loyalty of his subjects. Secure your ticket for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Good morning, 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, satirical. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I did want to share this with you. Having this transgressions at a different time actually gives me a lot of weird options, so I don't know. I may think about moving it anyway. But the actual interaction between Biden and the Trump supporter at the Shanksville, Pennsylvania event was, it's a little hard to hear, so I'm going to play it, and then I hope it sounds okay. But it's about a minute. I might comment while we're going. It was a super strange interaction, okay? So you got Trump in a group with a bunch of, I think, like high school age kids at a fire station in Shanksville, Pennsylvania for 9/11, and then this guy wearing a Trump hat, okay?
Presidential seal on it.
You want one with a presidential seal on it?
Presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You want my hat?
You want an autograph it?
Oh, sure, I'll
autograph it. Huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember your name?
I don't remember my name.
He said, he doesn't ask him to autograph it. He asks him, you know, why, are you going to autograph it or something? He's like, oh, you want me to autograph it? Okay. This is not what he asked. And he's like, well, do you even remember your name? Sure, I remember my name.
You're an old park. You're an old park.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old park.
I know you would know about that.
What?
I'm being old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
You're an old fart. I know I'm an old fart.
You know, he reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There's always one like this in the neighborhood. Yeah, I'm that one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
You want my autograph?
Hell no.
You want my autograph? Hell no.
You know my name.
Come on.
Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah.
That's when he was offering him to wear the hat, and he's like, I'm not going that far. But, he did. He put it on. But it was weird because he was wearing a baseball hat, and he put the Trump hat on top of the other baseball hat. So now he was double hatting, which was so odd looking. But okay, so.
Just remember, no eating dogs and cats.
Hey, they're good.
Thank you.
They're good. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I hope you like the pizza. You guys picked the best to get. I don't know where to go.
So he jokes, remember, don't eat the dogs and the cats. And the guy's like, oh, they're good, like the fried chicken. And then he starts talking about pizza. Let me say the obvious. I love that he put on a Trump hat. You can be in the middle of a con. I mean, dude wore a Trump hat to a Biden event. Come on. But he put on the hat. Like, this is cool. This is nice. It's a nice moment. So all the Trump trolls, there really are, you know, I'm like, just give the man a break. First of all, as you can tell, he can barely figure out, you know, what he's doing, but he's, you know, he's doing it in the right way. Okay, so, you know, it seems fine. All the other stuff, well, 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, John Pick and Scott, traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're still dealing with an accident that happened on Eglin Parkway and South Avenue. That's got some minor delays associated with it. Also, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we've got just a minor delay there, but you should know about it. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there is a new development in the latest sexual assault allegations against Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. ESPN reporting that a plaintiff is expected to speak to the NFL within 2 weeks. Watson says he's not paying attention to any of that, though.
Focus on football. I focus on keeping the main thing, and that's when I walk into this building. Focusing on being the best quarterback I can be on the game plan and trying to be better than we were last week so we can get a W.
And the attorney for the accuser says that they have video and two additional witnesses that they plan to present to the league. Watson denies the allegations. New York City's city council taking steps to make reparations for descendants of slaves a reality. The city passing a package of bills that'll look at their history with slavery and decide if reparations should be made. And this, possibly not that surprising, a new study showing high doses of ADHD medications are linked to a greater risk of serious mental health issues. This from scientists at Mass General Brigham. They say they've found that people who take high doses of medicines like Adderall, Vyvanse, or dextroamphetamine are 5 times more likely to develop psychosis or mania.
I want to be cautious because I'm inclined to be very, very snarky. We used to just say they were boys.
Right.
You know? And then we raised them on screens and distorted their cognitive development with, and I hate to be the RFK Jr. in the group, but with all of the artificial ingredients and processed meats. And we let them not get physical exercise, and we tried to stifle them in school. And funny thing, they wound up being, you know, cognitively disordered. And then we gave them incredibly intrusive drugs that made the problems not necessarily better. So, yeah, that's my short. Like, I don't talk about this an awful lot, but, man, what we have done to a generation of kids, particularly boys. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have a project to work on around the house, you need to buy some supplies, fix a problem, or just remodel, or you build things for a living. Pensacola Hardware is a great place to get that stuff. They've been around since 1851, 173 years, and their bread and butter is helping contractors, is building buildings, you know, whether it's residential or business. That's what they do. But they also will help people like you and me who need to fix stuff around the house. That's fine, too. And they're a great source of advice in addition to the supplies. But if you're a contractor, they'll put you on a monthly bill so you don't have to pay for it each time and send, you know, Jim with a credit card down to the store. In fact, they'll bring it to the job site, and they can work with you and help you solve whatever the problems have. And they have stuff in stock instead of having to order it. You know, if they don't have it in stock, you won't need it. I mean, genuinely. In fact, if you want to prove me on that, go down and look at the warehouse they've got right behind the store. It's amazing. Plus, the houseware section out front where you can buy gifts. Outstanding. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street since 1851.